Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody. My name is Zoinks, and this is your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am joined by one regular and one almost regular co-host tonight. We have some two experts in the building, though, to be talking all things EOS Cup, EU, North America. Also, of course, was a patch that happened, or was it? I don't know. We'll have to see and break all of that down coming up soon. But Lesden, you, of course, are the regular host that I was talking about. Welcome back to the show. Congratulations on a top three finish in EOS.
Congratulations is not the word I would use, but thank you very much.
I did. Yes, that will be something we have to talk about a little bit too at some point. But Feppy, I know you were breaking down all the games on your stream yesterday, and I know you're trying to watch as many of them live as you could. But welcome back to the show, Feppy, and of course, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Always happy to be here.
Happy birthday, Feppy.
Yes, you are the boy who cries Zashi. We'll have to, yeah, we'll break that one down. I really am kind of stuck on that as an episode title, by the way. So, Timmy, you in chat, thank you so much for saying that. That might be good. But all right, so I wanted to start the show talking about all things EOS Cup. Obviously, I had the opportunity to work on it live on the broadcast. I had literally the time of my life, and I don't think it was really announced or anything leading up to it, but we were live in studio for the show. So we were in Los Angeles, we were in Burbank, California, doing the studio show. It was so much fun. I'm not sure how widespread our esports knowledge is of our listener base, but it is literally the same stage and set that Overwatch League uses on their main broadcasts. I walked in and my jaw hit the floor. I was I was flabbergasted, and then someone giving us the tour from the esports center was like, "Yeah, it's the same stage." I was like, "I know." I was losing my mind. So it's like dream come true level shit for me, which was very, very cool. In a lot of aspects, it was a lot of fun. So if you were wondering what set was like, that was kind of the atmosphere. There were stairs. Sprinkles and Dupesnecks are just so flippin' funny. I was saying this joke. I honestly think you could give them a stick and they would create 2 days worth of bits for it on live on broadcast if you just gave them one object to work with. So I can't wait to see what they do next. Honestly, it was really good. But I wanted to ask the two of you, Feppy and Lazen, what did you think of the set piece? Chat, I want your opinion on it too. Did the studio look cool? Do you thought it was like well utilized? Did it feel better than the monthly finals? I personally thought it added quite a lot, but what about the two of you?
You first, Fetward.
Oh, me first? Okay. About time you guys get some actual good stuff. You guys get some nice presents that you get to use. Like, you guys have all been working hard for so long for the community, and now you guys finally get some fun toys to play with. Yeah. Everything was awesome. I mean, my favorite part by far was the top five healing stats. We got tree at fifth place in the tree, the healing stats, you know, like that type of stuff was funny. But in all seriousness, like, the stat tracking and stuff was fantastic. I mean, the set looked awesome. Obviously, the stairs were incredible. My favorite part of the set by far.
Yeah,
yeah, it is a huge step up. And
like, oh, step up! Very nice. Sprinkles would have used that. Sprinkles would have used that. Just so you know. Okay, great. I just it was one of those things where they are just so unbelievable amounts of bits that I was like, well, I want to get in on one of them, but I don't want to do it. So that was my favorite final one that I pretended that I didn't even know that there was stairs there the entire time when Spraggles came behind on our final casting. They just like walked up and down the stairs while Chef and I were casting. And I was like, I was just in utter disbelief that there were stairs behind me. It was a good time. Lazarin, thoughts on the studio, the like kind of new look for the broadcast? What were you thinking?
Oh, I thought it was absolutely amazing. I thought that, you know, the casters and production were just fantastic as usual. Mm-hmm. Like my family, I know we're all watching and they were super big fans of it as well.
Cool.
I thought the stats really cool, like I said.
I like it. yeah. Seriously.
But like, yeah, the studio was absolutely amazing. I look forward to seeing what's brought in, like, you know, 2 weeks from now when we get to see EUIC. The stairs bit was hilarious. Everybody was completely on point. Like, it felt like it felt like watching like, you know, as like a little high school then watching LCS for the first time again, you know?
Yeah. It's really cool. It does feel okay. And LCS is a fun comparison because, and I think this is about the Unite community. And I don't know if everybody agrees with me, but like, if I look up at the big kid esports, like League of Legends, you know, or Dota, or maybe even Counter-Strike or Valorant, something like that, you know, the tier one, I've been around for so many years, are filling arenas with people to watch their live events. It feels like that's like the pro league, that's that NBA level high profile circuit. And Unite, since we are just kind of on the way there, feels like it's like the high school championship, but it feels like we got to do states this weekend. Like, it feels like we're like, all right, let's get the lights going on. Let's add a desk for analysis. I don't know how many high school state championships have an analyst desk, but I'm down. It felt awesome. So it feels like we are just so in the right direction, and I am really a huge fan of it. Somebody was asking in chat too if we're going to be able to utilize the studio for monthly tourneys in the future. I believe the two next monthly finals are on the ticket for whoever's working them to be remote. However, I know for a fact that there will be another studio show for regional finals. So the same way they did this. So the EU and North America will be in one broadcast doing the finals that way. Which I wonder if they'll flip-flop the days. I wonder if they'll do all of group stage for North America on a Saturday.
They probably will, because the reason they did that was so they could... Well, because you can't show any of EU on Sunday.
Right, exactly. Like, yep, that would make a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense. Yes, and yes, there will be patch talk near the end of the episode too. I should have said all the notes up front of the show. But yeah, so I think the stage set was so much fun. We also added one more new element to the show, and that was the desk kind of analyst position that Chef and I were doing over the weekend. I thought it was really solid. Personally, I felt like it took us a little bit to kind of figure out what we could do and what we couldn't do, like in terms of like what we wanted to actually break down, like if it was just individual plays, if it was overall meta decisions, like how could we do that while utilizing the replays and stuff like that. Production was amazing, worked with us so much. I think we really kind of found our rhythm on day two and forward, and I think it was a really good like first attempt. I think it's only up from here when it comes to that element of the broadcast. So I'm excited. Two of you, though, how did you feel about, how did you feel about no North American groups being shown at all on broadcast?
It's kind of weird. I mean, I understand it because they're trying to fit everything in on like a single weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So it's tough for them to like fit the groups in. It's weird, though. I feel like if you're going to show off, like, all of the scenes, like, why are you showing groups for one area and not groups for another area? It just doesn't make any sense to me. But, like, it's kind of nitpicky. I don't really care too much. I mean, top 8's, like, usually what's more important anyways. But it's unfortunate that you don't get to see some of the teams that, like, you know, got upset and weren't able to make it, right? And see what happened.
That is true. And, well, yeah, that is true. The silver lining will be that, again, at regionals, it'll be all groups being shown, not every single game in groups, but all groups being shown. And then, of course, the top 8. Also, I have it on like pretty good authority that I'm pretty sure every single game of top 8 of EU will be shown. But in London, when we go,
I mean, like, they have 3 days scheduled on the event, right? Like, I'd be shocked if they were doing a 3-day broadcast of a top 8 and did not show every single game. Like, holy.
I think it's only 2 days.
Is it two? Maybe I'm thinking of NAIC.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's only 2 days for EU in terms of broadcast days. But
let me double check.
But I'm pretty confident that
one of the events have 3 days listed.
I'm pretty confident we'll be able to get every game broadcasted.
I mean, either way, yeah, but 2 days, you should have more than enough time, like, for a top 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be great. Okay, yeah, Lesnar, any thoughts on not showing group stage for North America?
I'm gonna be real with you. I don't think, like, as someone who did watch the majority of the group stage games through one stream or another, or like spectating, small loss.
Sure.
I will tell you that all of Luminosity's group stage was shown through various streams, and actually there's a video being edited that includes our comms.
Cool.
So that'll be cool to put out. And yeah, I think that other teams other teams would benefit from also doing that kind of content because it does actually perform pretty well, like in our experience.
Of course. I mean, in a new esports scene, actually competitive communication for some of the best teams in the world. Yeah, that's that content's gonna kill.
Yeah,
I think that's the really secret sauce. That's the secret sauce. Yeah, who cares if we're not on broadcast? We'll just monetize it ourselves. I like that a lot. Okay, yes, that is a great angle. I'm very, very excited to watch that video. That's going to be awesome. Yeah, I mean, I stayed up pretty late so that I could, in between days one and two, so I could watch as many of those streams as you mentioned to try to, you know, prepare myself for day two. But I thought it was, I think small loss is a pretty good descriptor. I know that there was, like, production and comp ops weren't super happy with this solution. Like, we definitely want to be workshopping it and see if we can get something better, but I don't know. We'll see. I'd be brave enough.
Okay, Otter, what you do is, I just see Otter pop up in chat. What you do is you hire a editor that knows what your comms are like, and you just give him the whole ass unedited thing, and he edits it down to the, or sorry, they edit it down to the point where it's safe to publish.
So a TikTok length of content within an entire tournament's worth of gameplay? All right.
I'm here for it.
Also, since Honor is here, one gigantic shout out to TTV for winning the North American AOS Cup. Huge congratulations. Back-to-back AOS wins for Otter. But also, if anybody is listening and on podcast line or watching on Twitch, tomorrow, Wednesday evening, I'm going to be interviewing TTV here as like an additional Overdunk episode. So, 2 episodes, 2 days, lots of content, but I'm excited to interview the AOS Cup champs. That's going to be sick. I'm super hyped for that. I think Evocron, their analyst slash coach, I believe, is going to be on as well. So it's gonna be really, really cool. But all right, before we jump into NA though, let's talk about EU. So I know the two of you didn't have the chance to catch as much of EU, but I want to take a look at it nonetheless because we just had group stage. Let's bring it up on the screen.
From what I remember, like hearing some of my European friends talk about it, one of the groups was like actually insane. That was the group. Group D, I think.
Yeah, so Group D ended up being really crazy strong. Group C, I thought also was pretty crazy strong. I think personally Group C was the strongest group, like, or maybe not strongest, at least parity. Like, I think Group C was the closest to parity. Warlords were bringing out score comp against teams. Teams were having a tough time trying to find the answer to it. I mean, Time to Shine did come over the 3-0, but every game they fought, like, really felt like they were having a push for the victory. But yeah, Zephyr making it out of that one, just skin of their teeth, it looked like. But Zephyr Esports and Time to Shine moving past Tally Believers, Off Meta Gaming, Nouns Esports, Summerhouse, Woof Woof, and GigaChat Gaming. Three of the groups had a 3-0 dominant team, except Nouns dropped a game to Piplup Bubble Beam somehow off broadcast. I'm not too sure.
Fascinating.
However, I did make a hot take that Piplup Bubble Beam was the sleeper team of the tournament. So I'm going to count it as a success for my hot take. That's all I'm going to say.
That's okay. A great game off Nouns. Absolutely. There you go.
I made that bold call just because they have Keep. I don't know if anybody remembers Keep on 5-Eye historically, the like Blastoise player for them. And I was like, hey, they were pretty good. So here we go. Sleeper team of the tournament. That's where I went. But so that was my personal choice. But if we want to jump up, we can actually take a look at the bracket that we'll be going to see at EUIC. Zephyr being paired up against Talibobo Believers in their first game of the tournament. That is a tough matchup, obviously. Anybody having to go up against Talibobo is just going to be ridiculously hard. Woof Woof, Summerhouse, Nouns, GigaChad, Time to Shine, Off Meta Gaming. I mean, all the games look really, really solid. EU's got a pretty outlined top four, I think. But I think GigaChad specifically and Zephyr are both teams that I would really consider to be ones that could break into that in this top eight. Like, this is their chance to become a part of the conversation of top four team. And I mean, if Azeed and Internal absolutely turn up, then yeah, Summerhouse as well. But we'll have to see. I wanted to bring up the question though, because the narrative around EU this year is very similar to what it was last year with Nouns' dominance run and Talibobo's in that spot, right? They are the most dominant team that we've seen within the region. Do you currently think that Talibobo is the best team in the world at the moment? Thoughts on that? Febby, let's start with you.
I haven't seen them play too much recently, mm-hmm. but I mean, I was saying a few months ago that I thought they were the best team in the world, and I don't see a reason why that would have really changed. I mean, they've been looking incredible the last few months, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good environment, I think, of players. You just have some absolute superstars. You bring in a player like Zervis, who is, you know, like, sort of the mom of a group like that. You gotta keep them on track and working and not try to fall off at all. I think it's really good. You have one of the most flexible players and most skilled players in the game in Toon. So just like you hit so many bases with that. You just put Utah to just go do whatever they want in jungle and looks pretty good. So yeah, I think Talibobo definitely a key leading in the world. But Lazadan, what about you? Do you think they're the best team in the world?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I don't think it's like, I mean, you know, I would be remiss to not say that, I would say. Like, yeah. I think that if Worlds is tomorrow, then Talibobo wins. I don't think it's close, honestly. But I think that other teams have time to catch up to their level, and I don't think that, like, I think they are improving, but I don't think that because of their level they're already at relative to their region, that they are improving at a rate even close to the rate other teams are improving at. So I think as we get closer to Worlds, the competition should get more interesting.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's going to be inevitable, right? No matter what. The Worlds tournament is going to be a whole different look. It's going to be... you have so many new elements thrown into an in-person event, and it being the biggest one for the most money, for like all of these things, it's gonna be different. I mean, and money and everything is a weird one, right? It makes some teams nervous on stage. They start to not perform as well. Some teams, they know they're getting paid, they start playing a lot better. Looking at you, Spinal. That was a sick run from their squad. But yeah, let's pivot away from EU though, because like I said, the next week I'm going to be doing a episode here on Overdunk that's going to be all EU AOS Cup finals predictions, get some couple of people from EU on the show. We'll talk all about that and the bracket, what the meta is going to look like and everything, because who knows, it might look a little bit different, maybe not too different, but it might look a little bit different. We'll have to see. So let's start talking about North America. So AOS Cup NA finished this weekend. Group stage off broadcast, with the top eight was on broadcast. I will pull up the bracket right now on the screen so everybody can take a look at it. But there we go. Amaterasu is still the number one seed here. And by the end of the tournament, they made it just by making it into winner's finals. So by winning their losers semis, or sorry, winning their winner's semifinals, they actually held on to first place in championship points, which is pretty cool. Also, I don't know if you guys, or I don't know if we all noticed this before. Did you all know that it was top three CP earners get the world's invite?
We did not get that confirmed until the broadcast yesterday.
Yes, okay. Well, that's because we were all sitting there and we were like, huh, this graphic really makes it seem like that. And so we went over to Comp Ops and we're like, hey, is this how it works? And they're like, yeah, it's 3CP and then regional winner. And then if the regional winner is included in one of those, it's just like, whatever. And then it moves that way. And so we were like, huh, okay. And then we all went, we're going to say this a lot on broadcast because I don't think it has been talked about enough and is actually a super fun narrative for like the competition to keep those top three spots going forward in the tournament. So, what's the matter with it, Lazadan?
So here's my problem with it. I think it's an overcorrection compared to last year of like the value of points, because at this point, I can tell you with 90% certainty, three of the four teams that are going to Worlds, without like sounding like a complete insane person. Like, it is really, really, really hard for the top three teams right now to be overtaken in points. Like, just based on how the points are right now.
Right.
Like, it's really hard. it requires both all three of us griefing and also one team, like, of the other teams massively overperforming.
Right. Which is kind of how championship point circuits are supposed to be. Like, if you play this well for three tournaments in a row, over half the length of a season, you should be in a dominant position. Like, shouldn't be a one. You shouldn't lose it by getting third in the finals tournament, right? That shouldn't happen. If you don't make eight or something, that is a concern. But, yeah.
I would be more happy if it was 2-2. I would put it that way, right? Because, like...
Okay. That's a good
note. It is beneficial for us, like, for, obviously, Luminosity, that it's 1-3. Like, duh. There's basically no way we don't make it to Worlds if we don't pull another March.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually don't like it from a competitive standpoint. Seeding is, like Otter mentioned, seeding is really, really broken. In a blind band draft, first seed is just the first seed on the bracket is really advantageous because you get to pick first, and first pick's really broken.
It's a huge win more for sure. Like, if you have points, it's huge win more, which is kind of tough to deal with if you're not a top level team already, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that feels more to me like a problem of giant qualifier tournaments for every series. Since we don't auto invite top four teams anymore. That's just kind of how this structure works. I think if there was like more variety in tournaments, if they played Swiss or something, that wouldn't be the case anymore, you know, but we don't really have the numbers or participation to have a tournament like Swiss. So I don't know. I don't really know how you would correct that one other than just like, I guess, pools and then randomize the pools. Like, that's really the thing.
I don't know. I just like from a viewer perspective, I guess like the battle for fourth place is interesting because there's like three teams that are realistically able to get it right now.
Yeah.
But the top three is going to, I'm going to say it's going to end up similar and then we're going to end another month and I'm going to look stupid.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. But, also, maps in chat also saying like roster changes are a problem. Like if a team ever has a roster change or something, you lose a fifth of your championship points. Yeah. Theoretically, like that's a concern too. So I don't know. I think it might just be too early to make the call on this format. I think we'll have another very in-depth conversation about this at or around regionals time and be like, okay, what does this need to be done? But I think the 2-2 angle you're talking about makes a lot of sense, actually. That allows for a Cinderella story of like an unheard team running through a bracket to have a couple of games where you can build that narrative. So from a storytelling perspective, that's where I'm coming in with that. But okay, interesting. Yes, nerdy, brainy seeding talk is very cool. But let's talk about the actual bracket. Amaterasu and TTV were the two teams that matched up in the winners' finals. I think the first round went pretty much as everyone expected. Ignorance became a little close with TTV that first one. Same with Spinal, but Spinal, like I said, was playing a really good tournament from what we were watching. It was really exciting to see. But, I mean, GT definitely beating Luminosity in that first round feels like a, not a gigantic upset, but it felt like an upset, especially in 2-0 fashion. Feppy, were you watching that game?
I was not watching that game. I watched that back after.
Okay, what did you think of that game?
I'm trying to be nice because Ven's here.
Uh-huh.
Just say it. I don't care.
It seems like there was fundamental issues in those first two games, almost like players' brains weren't on yet.
Yeah.
Which happens, right? Like, it just, the Luminosity that played in that set was not the Luminosity that we know and we've come to expect, right? But, you know, props to them. After that set, they turned it on and started popping off, right? Mm-hmm. But it just felt like that first set, their brains just weren't working. Like, and it happens, right? You don't warm up enough. I don't know. Like, you didn't eat breakfast. You know, like,
sure, sure.
You know, whatever it is, right? It happens.
Lazarin, you were there in the trenches. What was going on?
It's funny someone should mention that it was early for the West Coasters because the one West Coaster on the team was the person that was awake. oh boy.
Rin was really low.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, people were just not playing with their brains on. Like, it was really tragic. We were doing pretty well, and then we just throw Ray fights for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a story that we're going to repeat later in this, too.
yeah.
I don't know. It was really unfortunate. But we did manage to clean up some of the issues that were apparent in those first couple of games, and we played the rest of the tournament a lot better, but I can't feel happy after watching like those 4 minutes of gameplay that were those last two minutes.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good performance from GT there. Unfortunately, they just go on to lose their next two games, but hey, 2-0 over Luminosity, definitely a good credit to them. Obviously, sporting a new look. I thought Stockings looked really, really solid on that roster. Her Dodrio was absolutely stunning. Really cool to see that, because it was something I'm sure the competitive community like knows well, that knows she can play that Pokemon, has like been working on it or whatever, but as someone who just does more, you know, grand scope things, it was super cool to see her, like, normally that mage style player all of a sudden take over this assassin Pokemon and just really look sick on it. So yeah. I was really excited about that.
And to focus on the other side of the equation, because obviously, like, I spent a lot of time talking about my own team, GT's been working really hard. Like, I'm really, really impressed with them. They played those games really well, especially considering I think their drafts were significantly worse, so the games were hard to play. And I think the Stockings performed really, really well, both in groups and in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
One of the storylines that I'm sad we're missing because of groups is the entirety of Group D. Every single one of those sets was absolute insanity.
Yeah. Well,
those are insane.
Take a look at the videos. I mean, we're going to have to check it out. Yeah, that was an interesting story to talk about on broadcast, too. I mean, mm-hmm. GT making it into this top eight via tiebreakers. Definitely not something you want to see from a top team, but they made it close. Yeah. And let's face it. I mean, I know the points disparity is pretty large. TTV, Amaterasu, and Luminosity are the three clear front runners. But when games like that happen in that round number one, when Spinal has close games against GT and Luminosity later on, like, when these games are this close, it really does make it exciting for North America as a region. These games, yes, there are, I think, clear best teams, but the spiciness, or maybe that wild card factor that some of the other teams in North America bring is really good.
Especially when, you know, two out of the top three teams just drop a single game to a team that got eighth for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Spinal was cooking. Spinal was absolutely
cooking. I said got eighth. Spinal also was cooking.
Oh,
they
were the
fourth.
Eighth seed. That's why I was thinking. Oh, Ignorance, you're saying, right?
I don't know.
I think people still aren't giving Ignorance enough credit, which is wild. I mean, just drop it to fun, whatever. They keep earning it. They keep grabbing those matches again and again. I call it what you want.
I use for fun as my way of describing that I don't quite understand what happens.
Right. I'm fair enough. And I mean, even if it's a mystery that is somehow consistent, I guess no one's found the answer yet, and Ignorance is still gonna be great. So I am excited. That's a good point. Only team to take a game off of TTV. That is true. Ender couldn't quite seal the deal with the egg bomb that time around. But yeah, the bracket outside of that was still really exciting. Amaterasu cleaned up Unknown in the broadcast game that we caught of them. I was a bit bummed by that. I was kind of hoping for a bit closer of a match between those two. But yeah, Unknown getting knocked down, and then Luminosity was able to take them out of the bracket. Amaterasu TTV winners finals. Pretty cool. TTV coming away with that one. Grand finals. Amaterasu made it look a lot closer, but Ender with just the absolute hero cape in that one game was wild. Trainer got knocked out by a whirlwind by Ray. You hate to see it. I mean, some of these things are happening, but let's if you said the illegal race steals you had a game two versus Ignorance. I mean, Zug is, if that's not legal tender by now, I don't know what is. But anyway, talk about the losers semis and losers finals here, Lazanin. So you 2-1 against Spinal. Very, very close game. That was a good match to watch. That was exciting. Spinal definitely felt like they could have won that one at any moment, but you guys really turned up and held down game number three. But yeah, how was that matchup against Spinal?
It was definitely pretty interesting. The game that was off broadcast, we used a Safeguard Blissey, and the Sableye was entirely useless, so like we didn't really think too much about it going into game two. And then we did do it because our pussy had eggs, and we just got stunned for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. That it felt. I called. I was like, "Why is Slash playing soft boiled? This feels strange."
Well, not only that, but like, there was another thing in that game. I don't remember what it was. I do remember. I do just remember another like super in moment. But like, yeah, that was like that second game was pretty dicey.
Mm-hmm.
Third game though definitely felt like a return to form. I was surprised by the Dragapult pick. I'm not, still not really sure what the point of that was. Or was that in game one?
That had to be in game one because I'm like, I would remember a Dragapult pick.
Oh yeah, that was the one. No, that was
it was
off
the
broadcast.
Tyranitar pick was the last one.
Oh yeah. The Tyranitar. The Tyranitar with no healing against two counters.
Yeah. That was a pick.
I tried to fight for it a little bit. I was like, no. Like, it's totally fine into Blissey. Like, you don't care. And then I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't know what Relentless was thinking. But whatever. Whatever. Okay, anyway, you win that game. Feppy, talk to me about winners or losers final. So Amaterasu versus Luminosity. Amaterasu wins this one 2 in a row. So big endgame team fights being the swingy decisions around this map, but thoughts on that one?
I mean, the games were pretty close overall.
They were so close, yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty close games. I mean, like, if it wasn't for a certain player on TTV, I would say YeetFan is my MVP of the tournament because he was absolutely popping off. I mean, he was going insane in that set. And throughout the entire tournament, he was
also
doing really well.
Nudo looked unreal in this game. Yeah, I was watching it. Nudo was playing Venusaur and was dodging every skill shot I have ever seen. I was like, your hitbox is half the camera screen. How are you doing this? It was unbelievable. I was so impressed with Nudo.
Nudo was especially top lane Venusaur work. Like,
Oh, especially game one. Yeah, you're totally right, Lesman. Did you expect the Venu at all in that game?
I did. Apparently, somebody didn't read my notes.
Good. Yeah, all right. Good to know. Wait, are you referring to me? I don't know if you sent
me. No, not you.
I was like, I don't think you sent me that note, but okay, cool.
I don't think I sent you any of those. I meant to, and I forgot.
Shame.
Oops.
I need a shame bell button. But anyway, okay, yes. Yeah, thoughts on Amaterasu versus Luminosity there, last name?
How do I put this?
Yes, good question.
They played Amaterasu played exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
And taught us a very valuable lesson about a couple of specific types of positioning.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. All right. Well, I think that was more than I expected. So thank you for bringing that one up. Yeah, I thought those games were great. And then, of course, TTV versus Amaterasu. It ends in a 3-0, but I think the closest 3-0 that we could have ever called. I mean, that game was unreal. Ender getting that egg bomb secure is stuff of legend. Otter was unbelievable on that map. Celestial was him. Like, I don't know. The TTV was like untouchable, I think, in that final game. The ice was too thick in the veins for that one to really go any other direction, I think. But Fippy, thoughts on TTV versus Amaterasu in grand finals?
If Indy didn't steal that one ray, everyone would be talking about how Zugrug was potentially the best player in NA right now. I mean, people are looking at that steal and talking about Indy steal so much, but I genuinely think Zugrug just straight up looked different in this tournament. Dude, I don't know what he did before the tournament.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Anything and everything. I mean, every single, like, Hoopa portal. He was interrupting Hoopa portals consistently with, like, Slowbro Surfs, which is really hard to do, by the way. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And he was hitting everyone. I mean, all of his ults were on point. Like, his positioning was fantastic. He stole a couple of objectives that he never should have stolen. Like, I don't know what happened, but he was 100% MVP for me. There's no doubt in my mind that Zugrug is the best player in this tournament.
Yeah, so there's a tweet by Dupesnacks that went up pretty, like, was doing pretty well recently, but the fact that all four of us casters and a member of the Pokemon company, we went out for like food and drinks after. We talked about competitive Unite for, not a word of a lie, 9 hours after the broadcast. Dinner at the bar, like everything. We were talking for so long, and Zugrug was one of the immediate conversations. We were like, where the hell did that come from? Like, Zugrug was looking unbelievable this tournament. It was so cool to watch. But yeah, those moments were awesome. Also, the clip that Ender posted of their comms of like Lutano being like, all right, and then Ender calling that he got it before the egg bomb even actually landed on the ray, and then the immediate pop off was so flipping good. Oh, that clip was unreal. So yeah, I think TTV earning this 3-0 for sure. What a crazy game. I loved it. Also, much love to Lutano shouting me out in his player interview after winning the tournament. Hey, what can I say? I'll take it. Also, I got the Venmo sent to Lutano already, so don't worry. I've already paid him. we're good to go on that front. But yeah, NA was fun. The leaderboard's pretty solid right now. I mean, TTP taking a big jump up. Amaterasu holding on to their CP leaderboard. Luminosity rounding up that third place. Pretty impressive, like I said, due to missing the one monthly tournament whatsoever. So yeah, looking good across the board. But any general thoughts on NA moving forward? Lazen, how's your team feeling moving forward in tournaments? Do you feel like third place is where you feel that you're at? Or do you genuinely feel like your team is better than third place?
Before I get into that, I'm going to very quickly echo what Feppy said. I think that if ASU had won, then Yitfan would have been my MVP, but because TTV run, I think Zugrug is my MVP for this tournament. He played absolutely out of his mind. I was especially impressed because one of his weaknesses as a tank last year was he did not play a lot of Slowbro, even in slower dominant metas. Mm-hmm. So his Slowbro being absolutely fucking insane on Sunday was like a joy to see.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, normally he'll even, like, dip to the Wiggly and stuff in those kind of moments, right? And mm-hmm. it like, adapted to the Slowbro and looked like the best Slowbro out there. So freaking cool.
And then Yitfan, obviously. Like, insane pop-off Urshifu games, Espeon games, all that good stuff. I would say that, I mean, you know, I think all three, if you asked any person on any of the top three teams, we would all say we're number one.
Sure.
And I will say we are number one.
Okay.
When I say they are, I mean, like, they would all say themselves are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a test and you passed, so that is great.
we are confident that with some very minor adjustments that there will be absolutely no stopping us next time.
Okay. I like to hear. Feppy, thoughts going forward? I mean, we got the clear top three within this tournament, but if you had to make a prediction, if next monthly finals, do you think TTV runs it back? Do you think it's another one of these teams, or maybe even outside of this top three's chance to take it?
I don't know. I mean, Zacian's gonna potentially be a thing next patch. That's gonna change the everything about competitive. So I mean, there could be some sleeper team that just, you know, comes in and gets a good read on the meta and just kind of takes over, right? Like, that could 100% happen. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, we get
hashtag TOS takeover.
I mean, you are literally a sleeper cell agent for TOS. Like, you have infected Luminosity Gaming with your team TOS takeover nonsense. I mean,
I don't know. we could see a team like Unknown, right? Or like, even like, you know, like. So Final obviously had some weird like meta like decisions and what they want to do for drafts, right? Like, maybe next patch is their meta and they just steamroll everybody. Like, I don't know, right?
That's true.
Like, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But like, I'm pretty confident that the top three teams right now are probably going to stay top three. That's not really going to change. But I would expect to see some interesting shakeups because the meta is probably going to be very different next patch.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, new meta will be exciting too. And I mean, the leaderboard's pretty set in place right now, so I think it'd be the time to shake things up. I think that's totally fine. But all right, well, we've mentioned it a few times already. Let's start talking about the patch. So we have finally got a patch into Unite. Kind of. It is not hitting as many things as most people wanted. It's not to the level of effect that a lot of people wanted either. Let's talk about it. So I'm going to bring up DB's talk notes here in a second, but does anybody have something they want to say about the patch already? Lazanet, I know you obviously have very strong opinions towards it. So what are you thinking about the patch that we just got within the game?
Oh, God. Okay. Where do I begin? I'll begin at the top. First of all, I was not the one who wrote the commentary for this one. I think it was Evocron, so I'm not going to... I don't even remember what's in there. I'm just going to make that clear, though.
Okay.
I'm not expecting it to be bad. I just want to make sure that people know that he was the one that wrote it, right? In case it is good or bad. I don't want credit.
Yeah, I'm just control effing for
it is probably good.
Hold on, let me see.
why are we for fun buffing, or not even for fun, like why are we for profit buffing every single character before they get a battle pass, by the way? Like, why is this happening? Why are we giving characters like dozens of unnecessary buffs before they get a battle pass? Like, why are we doing this? The Sableye nerf, cool, great. I really like that.
Yeah.
The Mew nerf, probably for the best. Why are we leaving Espeon alone? That character's broken as hell.
Yes.
What in the hell did they ever think this Zacian nerf was going to be enough? Gut that thing. Nerf it into the ground.
Yeah.
Please.
And then some.
It does not... Like, people don't even know how to properly play it yet. It's a high-skill expression character that already dominates every single game with no games on it.
That is actually a crazy point. It's like, you think it's broken here? Wait until you see it in ranked.
Yeah. Where's Comfy? Where is it? Huh?
Yeah.
Where is Comfy? Charizard just getting a buff for fun. Why not? You know, they increased the smaller portion of its auto attack damage by 10%. Cool. 4% DPS increase,
okay.
Everybody. That's what Charizard did.
Okay, though. Hold on. I think that, like, the for fun part of that, I actually think that's fine. I think a lot of people call for, like, Pokemon that are underutilized or, like, low down on the totem pole in terms of metagame to get these huge swinging buffs. I would rather this than the battle pass treatment, and we just slowly hit up a couple of things, you know?
I prefer this Charizard change to the tree buffs from last patch. Let me put
yes.
it that way.
Cool. Tree buffs.
The tree change was also good.
Like they
the tree change is also great.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's fantastic. I'm so glad we got these tree nerfs, and we also didn't touch the tank that had higher prior over it in every single draft. But, you know, we touched the tree, right? Like, you know, we touched the second best Pokemon of every roll instead of the best one. Like,
yeah, that is true. That is true.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're starting to get to the point where competitive metas are getting a lot different from ladder metas, right? So
I think this is the first one where it was like the very clean,
yeah
right
yeah this is the
that,
one right like
it also helps it, that TPCI was like, hey, we're banning Zacian, so
yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
also I just need to like put a shout out there, TPCI, it got some pretty dope people working for them that care so much
true.
About this game that aren't involved with the game's like actual creation and balance patches and stuff, yeah. And if they are willing to do things like, hey, Zacian's banned, why?
Yeah,
too strong.
That was
like
good.
Cool. Also, I can confirm it will be banned for EUIC top 8. I know there was like some question marks there. It will remain banned for EUIC top 8.
Is Goodra banned?
I doubt it. I
don't think it matters either way. The character sucks.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say. I mean, if you're drafting Goodra and winning games, your name better be Toon Slim, or else I don't count it. I don't trust it.
Well, where's my Toon Slim Comfy Jungle? He did it in Scrims once.
We did it in Scrims. He did it in freaking. Well, maybe not Jungle, I guess. But yeah, we'll have to see. Okay, let's talk about Zoroark. I want to talk about Zoroark before we get into the more egregious low tuning of Zacian. Because let's face it, I think the main talking point of this patch is the lack of patch. I think we can all agree on that. Not near as many things being touched as we wanted to. Espeon is the biggest one for me. But hey, that's still the battle pass in the game. I mean, sometimes we should expect these things. Not want them, but sometimes we should expect these things, okay?
But why is that a reasonable explanation?
I'm not saying it's a reasonable explanation.
Yeah.
I never once said that.
No,
I'm
no,
just saying.
No, I'm saying it is. I'm saying, like, reasonable in the sense of that is an explanation that explains a lot of the previous patches and can explain this patch too. But why is that a thing?
Like, I know. I agree. It's not a good thing, but I think it's pretty clear to tell why it's a thing. But anyway, Zoroark. Okay, Zoroark getting some buffs across the board. Has anybody been scrimming or practicing Zoroark? Is this Pokemon broken now? Is it crazy strong? I mean, Feint Attack was like the move, and it got a 1 second cooldown buff. That seems so strong to me. What are we thinking? How does Zoroark feel?
I will not comment my opinions on Zoroark's viability.
Okay.
I mean, it was already being used a bit pre-patch, right? In certain in certain metas. I mean, several teams were using it as like a double EV counter, right? So it getting buffed is only going to see it be a lot better against those.
If it's the double EV counter,
right?
Heck yeah, run this thing. That meta makes me so sad.
Obviously we know that Feint Attack's like pretty good, right? Teams have already been using it, so we know it's good. I'm interested to see if Night Slash is good now. The extra sustain that it's getting like what, almost like a 50% ish, maybe more increase on the amount of healing.
In fairness, now that healing is not very easy to trigger. It is only if you get the full combo and the X. That's how what triggers the healing.
Yeah, you only get it off the X. But the healing is like, that's a big buff to the heal.
Let's face it though, it looks like a ranked buff, right? Like, how often are you gonna actually pull off these combos against top teams?
Yeah. It's one of those things though where like, well, Zoroark gets one Feint in competitive, right? Zoroark gets Feint Attack off one time in a fight and he's done most of the time, right?
Correct.
In competitive. A lot of the times you're not seeing a second Feint Attack combo in a fight. And it's not because the cooldown is long. It's just after the first one, either the fight is over or the fight is not, or the fight is lost. Right? Like the fight is either one or the fight is lost after the first one most of the time, right?
You got to aim for the head with Zoroark. I completely agree.
Yeah, so like these Feint Attack changes are kind of like, I don't know how impactful these are. They're probably a lot better for lane, but in team fights, maybe not so much.
Okay.
But like, I think the Night Slash change might actually be pretty important because of the healing. I mean, Zoroark might be a really interesting split pusher now because you can just, anytime somebody walks at you, you just run at them and complete heal yourself. Like,
yeah,
you're really good now.
That does sound fun. Lazen, you had thoughts on this?
So the Zoroark change has something that we didn't put in the patch notes because we're still not 100% sure.
Okay.
But during a couple of the contributors testing from the Math Court, shout out to Wick specifically, he noticed that it was a lot harder for your combo to just get randomly canceled. If that is true, then this buff is a lot bigger than it looks.
If they retuned Night Slash combo, then that's crazy good.
That's really important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
He was not 100% sure. I did not test it myself because I have old lady hands and I will fail the combo naturally.
That's true.
Wow.
You are the podcast elder.
True.
Not by age, but by hands.
But I will have to look into, like, if that's true. I also think that that Feint Attack cooldown is low enough that that's enough to get a second off in a team fight. Even if you...
I think it's breakpoint. I'm with you. I think it's breakpoint.
Yeah, if it's breakpoint, it's a really big deal, for sure.
Yeah. And, okay, I don't hate the buffs though. Like, if it pushes into Otterusing is really good, not broken. I think if it was already good and we're pumping it up a little bit, if this is the shakeup this meta gets, heck yeah. If it's like, if this is, you can't get Dodrio but you could get Zoroark, that seems awesome to me. Like, I would love for Zoroark to be a higher considered draft pick, which is outside of just like niche teams who want to try to make it work. The only reason I think Amaterasu is so good with this with trainer, crazy, but you also have Yeetfan who could just like make really good call on long range skill shots and they'll just combo those together, which is really sweet. And I don't think that many teams have as like long of time of synergy built between those two players to make those combos look so good. But you give them a new patch, you get some time with it, that could change. Is there any, okay, let's talk about Zacian, because we only said like, it's not enough. We didn't actually talk about what was going on. So, all right, natural stats, they have been tuned down so that it basically is a little weaker earlier, and then it scales to relatively the same amount that it did before. I mean, literally the same amount if you get all the way to 15, which you tend to do on this Pokemon. The attack stats, not that much lower. So, level 1, 220 to 190, and it kind of just goes from there. So, not a ton. Do we think the natural stats being adjusted have been felt or even at all impactful? Or are these kind of irrelevant so far?
There's no way it's relevant. Right. There's no shot.
Yeah.
Like, no, nobody cares. I mean, this character has, like, 750% scaling on its ult. What, like, who cares about 30 attack at level 1? Like, I don't know. I mean, for me, honestly, like, I'm taking my strips of whiteout. I'm whiting out the entirety of all of the Zacian stuff, pretending it doesn't exist, except for the agility cleanse removed.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the only thing that mattered to me. That's the only thing that matters. Yep. And that change is a very good change. I don't know why that move had cleanse on it in the first place. I'm happy that it doesn't have cleanse on it now.
Agility did, right? Because Dodrio's agility has cleanse.
Muse
does not. Yeah.
Muse never did. Yeah.
A rare shortcoming of Mew. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. That was.
Don't worry, though. It just gets the invincibility on the ult instead. Smile.
Yeah, but it should not have been a cleanse in the first place. So I just see this as them actually making the character the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, that's. I'm just happy that they did it and they realized that was a big mistake.
Yeah.
And just a bit of a sidetrack. I just find it really funny that every character that's had agility has been broken.
Yeah, that's
true.
If you build an agility comp in Unite, that's a strong comp.
Yeah.
That's a terrifying comp. We need a support with agility. Actually, I take that back. Immediately take
no,
that
no,
back.
No, no,
I
no,
immediately
no,
take
no,
that
no,
back.
No, no,
no. Oh, my word. Okay. Lazadin, thoughts on the Zacian nerfs?
I think that the 30 AD at level 1 is somewhat impactful because you don't, like, die instantly if you walk up to it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
As Spraggles always likes to say, you can never make the mistake of standing right next to it. stand right next to it? Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Die in 2 hits, not in 1 hit. Yay. That's a
dying in 2 hits is counterplayable.
There you go. I'm with it.
But otherwise, like, the speed increase is, like, somewhat meaningful. The cleanse is the biggest thing. Why did they not make this more nerf? I'm confused. It's still going to perform well. I think that it is a lot easier to deal with bad Zacians now because they cannot just eject out of all your CC for fun.
Let's just, you know, cut to the chase. This character has 100% ban rate in competitive still.
That does not change.
Like,
if this
character is not nerfed nearly enough. If you are making the mistake of not banning this character, you deserve to lose the game.
If you are on red side and you do not ban Zacian, you have lost the game instantly. Because the only way where Zacian is, like, even bearable to fight is if your R1 and R2 are Slowbro comfy, because without both of those characters, Zacian is unstoppable.
Yeah.
And if you R1, R2, Slowbro comfy, then they can just pick Delphox and you're fucked.
Right. Yeah. It scripts draft too much, right? It scripts draft way too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about Mew, one of the other Pokemon that was touched a little bit. Electro Ball seeing some nerfs. So the damage ratio is just going down a little bit. In my mind, this is just to make Electro Ball a little less good of a smite. Is that?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Execute being a little bit less powerful. I mean, Electro Ball is just such a crazy good smite. Sir Hit, that's a tough one to have. Solar Beam, I think, got the pretty strong nerf, though. That one's
a pretty heavy bonk.
Yeah. 10.5 seconds is very, very strong.
Let me double check.
I think the changes are good. If there was Espeon changes in this draft patch, I would love it. but they are not, and that's scary.
And comfy.
For me, I've always envisioned, like, Solar Beam for Mew is, like, It should be your finisher move, right? It should be your move that, like, oh, somebody got away, let me switch to Solar Beam and finish somebody at long range that I can't quite get to, right? Like, that's why I feel like Solar Beam always should have been. I don't like that Solar Beam has always been like the, oh, let me just delete their entire team and with one move and just, you know, like, hit all of them for 60% of their HP. So yeah. Like, I'm kind of sad that they didn't fix the damage aspect of it much. But the cooldown nerf is good because you're less incentivized to pick it and just hang out and poke perma, which is good.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with Otter. Synchronized being adjusted to 25 seconds. I don't like it. I like the 20 seconds. Yes, it makes me more powerful, but I think it's just a skill expression power, which I like. I like a lot. So that going away is a bit disappointing, I'm not going to lie. Well, the going away, but being increased to 25 seconds instead of 20 seconds, I think will be somewhat impactful. Just give Mew less options, and I like watching good Mew play. I like watching Otter play Mew when he has 20-second cooldown synchronized. So that's my personal opinion on those Mew changes. Lazadin, any thoughts on the Mew changes?
As of this change, you basically have to land, like, hold on. Before, if you landed a 4-man beam, it got a full reset. Mm-hmm. And now you can't do that, and that's
five
good.
Man beam.
You have to land an actual 5-man beam in order to get your solar beam reset. So that's a positive. But that also means that like the change is more impactful. Like the more people you miss, right? So like late game, Mew isn't going to be able to just like chunk you to half health and have its beam in like a quarter second and then just kill you.
That's true.
Which is very, very good. But I'd be surprised if Mew was not still the second best attacker in the game.
Yeah, I would be shocked as well. It doesn't really seem that there's many up next Pokemon. Delphox, maybe, but you mostly consider that jungler, right? So, yeah.
I mean, there's not really any other attackers even close to contention, unless you're just going to throw like an all-rounder or a speedster in your attacker slot. Like,
right. Yeah, all the AD carries are just really struggling.
The problem
right now
is everything is unplayable into Espeon after level 4, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Mew is the only one that could, like, even get close to its smiting power, and even then, like, you kind of have to have a Snorlax or a Slowbro in your lane, or it kind of sucks. And, like, Delphox can't contest an Espeon. I have seen way too many games in tourney and in scrims of Fennekins at the 7:30 mark because they landed on Espeon, right? Yeah. Like, it's just so bad.
Yeah, it's no good. It's no good.
Yeah,
Split Buff Espeon, I agree with Otter. Split Buff Espeon is, like, it's such a, like, cringe, like, autoplay bottom lane. Like, it just... You just lose if someone does that bottom line. There's nothing you can do. Unless you are like literally Snorlax Mew, and even then it's hard.
I would love if they just put all the Espeons at level 5 EVOs. Or all the EVs. Can you imagine? I mean, you'd probably have to keep their United 8 so they still have that like earlier power spike style of play. But that'd be kind of crazy. That would be kind of crazy. But yeah. Any more? Well, actually, I think we've talked about the patch enough. I mean, there's some Glaceon and Trevenant changes that I think we talked about at a few points throughout the show, like, enough, but
I don't think anybody is upset about either of those changes.
No, they feel great. I think people want the Woodhammer AoE to be a little bit less.
Actually, hold on here. Let me show you something funny. We had one of our contributors has just decided that she was going to check the hitbox on Trevenant. Hold on. I don't know if you can show this on stream.
Yeah, I probably could. Yeah, if you said it to me. I'm pretty sure you tweeted about it, didn't you?
I replied to someone else's tweet with the image, but always hits, by the way. Oh, this yeah. This always hits.
Yeah.
You can go to practice tool and replicate this to yourself. This was Red Box. Shout out to Red Box. This always hits.
That's so funny.
That happened. That happened in the tournament. By the way, I saw that during my my analysis. Yeah. I have an image of this happening in tournament.
It's a good move. Stop standing so close to Trevenant. Interesting. And does this grab both Baltoid and Sub?
It does not grab the ball until it grabs the sub doll.
It grabs the sub because of that, because of the aura that it has on its hitbox, huh? Okay, interesting.
That would hit any Pokemon standing in the sub doll spot too, by the way. Even some of the smaller ones.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, they all have that like circular hitbox. Yeah, all Pokemon do. But
just really nice, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, so it hits the doll. It doesn't hit the ball toy, just to be clear. But, well, crazy stuff, crazy world. Right before we end, I just want to kind of a fun question. You know, we've talked a lot about what the draft didn't do, but what could have it done? But other than the normal nerfs that we're looking for, I think across the board, we've mentioned so many times of the things that we want nerfed. Any Pokemon that you really want to see buffed? Feppy, what's a Pokemon that you want to be improved in the game of Unite?
Oh, no. The surprise question. Oh no! What will I do? Go to my notes. Oh yeah. Sorry, the script. My bad. The script. Oh no. Honestly.
It's alright. I'll jump to Lazenin first. Lazenin, any Pokemon that you really want to see? You really want to see buffs on?
I never thought I'd say this. I never thought there would ever be the day where I would say this. Please buff E-Speed, for the love of God. That move is so much fun to watch.
It is.
It Dude, has Celestial very clear counterplay.
I don't know.
it works against the Eevee sometimes, but yeah. I don't think it's good enough. Like in most cases,
right.
I think that Lucario getting a very light set of buffs would be an overall healthy thing for the meta, because I think that there are too many top laners that. Yeah, I agree with you there, Otter. There's too many top laners that are just like, not like people the top lane, but like top lane characters that just kind of suck bad in lane, and there's not a good enough punish for them.
Hmm.
Like, you just can't, because Lucario falls off so hard, it's kind of hard to snowball out of top lane and win the game from there. I would agree, though, that like Serena's possibly the worst character in the entire game. That's sad.
Yeah. It's crazy that we've gotten to this point too, right? That Serena is at that point. I would love some Aegislash buffs. I think that Pokemon's really cool. It can provide a lot to the game at different points in the game. So I definitely think an Aegislash buff would be cool. And then my second choice, if I had to pick one, I just want Dragapult to be better. I think if Dragapult was a stronger Pokemon, I just want more just like AD carries to be a realistic option, and we just don't have any that are. I want more A button pressers. That's all I want. So, give me some better Dragapult action. Buff that rate of fire. I don't know.
You can in fact watch. I think Nick watched Game 1 versus Spinal, so you can in fact watch the Relentless Dragapult playing a build that I kept meaning to ask him about it, and I'm still not sure why he played it.
I don't know. Relentless was on one in that game. Man. We'll have to see. Feppy, have you had time to think about it? What do you want to see?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'd like, not so much a buff, I'd like to see a Ninetales rework. When's the last time we saw a nine? Like, when's the last time we saw a relevant Ninetales?
Every game in Japan? Feels like every game in Japan.
But the thing is, I mean, sure, but like, I'd like to see a rework, because like, I feel like the character has way too much CC to ever make it like relevant damage wise, because you just have, you know, 30,000 stuns in the kit.
Right.
I like to see Ninetales see a bit more play and be a bit more interesting, because I think like the pseudo support like attacker role, right, where you have like the Aurora Veil with like the damage reduction, we don't have a lot of that, and that's a really cool mechanic. I wish we had more of that type of stuff in the game. And it's sad that like one of the main ones in Ninetales just doesn't see any play.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'm seeing some love in chat for Zeraora, of course, Zarina, and a lot of Azumarill love in chat too, which is fair. I've never enjoyed Azumarill very much, but I know they have quite the fan base, so I will I'll support them a little bit on it. But have you all talked about CC in general and how to make it better? Okay, so that's a pretty strong opinion on social media right now, is that the crowd control in Unite is ruining the game, and there's too many stuns in the game. I don't know if that's entirely true. I don't know if I'm, like, a full-on on that opinion. Are the two of you on that opinion? There's too many stuns in the game?
I mean, the CC change in this game are way shorter than most other MOBAs, but that might just be because of the 10-minute time limit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I will say that
it feels like a solo queue problem. It feels like a solo queue problem to me. Like people are complaining about it, but I don't know.
I think the reason why people are complaining about this is because Espeon has a 100-0 CC chain on most attackers.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think that's a problem, but I think that's the reason why people are complaining about CC chains, because I think attacker with multiple stuns is probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I think that Tree's stun duration relative to its cooldown and damage making it so you're stunned for over half the time when you're fighting it is really fun and very interactive.
Well, just don't stand next to it. Or anywhere around it.
Just do not stand in like a 3-mile radius and you're fine.
Because Woodhammer will hit you there. It is terrifying.
Yeah.
I guess my problem with the CC in the game is that not that there's a good amount of it, because if there's a good amount of it, like, you can have some good play with your team, like coordinating your CC together, right? Like, that's cool. That's fine. Like, I like that sort of stuff in competitive. It's interesting. CC chains are like hard to execute properly. But the problem for me is that a lot of the CC in this game is just so spammable. I mean, every single character has their stuns on like a 5-7 second cooldown. It's like Dodrio can stun you like 17 times in the span of a second. Like,
yeah, that might be.
It's that it's all spammable is the problem for me.
Yeah, that is true. Honestly, I think let's just buff full heal again. Let's just throw it back to where it was and see what happens, you know? Give just some counterplay to a few of these things. But, all right, I agree.
I think it's funny that we have a 3.7-second cooldown and a 1.25-second stun. I think that's extremely funny.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay, fine. There are some changes needed. All right, fine. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. Impossible, by the way. So I'll have to figure out what the actual solution is. Okay, well, I think we've talked enough about patch notes and everything like that. I don't think there was too much more that I really wanted to discuss. I mean, like I said, tomorrow we're going to be interviewing TTV on their crazy epic championship run of AOS Cup. So tune in, same time, same place here on Unite Mike's Twitch. And then, of course, in a couple of weekends, it's just going to be UIC in London. I'm going to be there doing the live broadcast. I cannot wait. It's going to be a ton of fun. But the two of you, is there anything that you want to plug? Feppy, anything you want to plug before we close out the episode?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't stream very much nowadays because I'm really busy. But when I do my Twitch streaming at the Feppy TTV. I do a ton of analytical content nowadays, a lot of coaching, analytical stuff. I don't do as much gameplay nowadays, unfortunately. I'm getting old. But you can also check me out.
I know, right? Blasted and Feppy, old lady hands. This is the worst.
You can also check me out at Twitter, at FeppyTTV. And I'm also, hopefully, I can find a home soon. I'm LFT as a coach right now, so hopefully I'll find a place to stay soon.
Cool. All right. Well, shout out. You do have Medify, right? For coaching?
I do. Okay. Medify at Feppy.
All right. At Medify on what? That was not at the right Medify. Words in the right spots. at Feppy on Medify. Go check out that coaching. Lazadin, how about you? Anything you want to plug?
Shout out to all of the other people on Luminosity that have Twitch channels and YouTube channels that get used when mine does not most of the time, because I'm mostly busy with other things.
Sure.
There's a 4-week break between event, so I'll probably stream a bit between now and then, plus at 11.
Cool.
And of course, keep an eye out on MathCord, because when there's this much time between events, that means that Evocar and I can, like, stop focusing on team stuff for a minute and actually get things done.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll try to get some cool stuff out of math courts. I think we have an idea of what the next project is, but
okay, well, awesome.
Sure. Yeah, so I won't say it.
MathCord the place to be. I really need to make that check, man. MathCord the place to be. So go check that out. See what fun information they can get the community over there. But everybody, that is going to bring us to the end of episode 61 of Overdunk. I think YouTube does this. If you made it this far, our secret word is happy birthday. So make sure you comment happy birthday on the YouTube video if you made it this far. And if you're listening on a podcast platform, please leave us that 5-star review. It seriously helps the show out so much. But thank you, and until tomorrow when we interview TTV, have a good rest of your night. Goodbye, everybody.